This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. It's Podcast Friday.
I was like, is she going to say it? Because if you didn't, I wasn't going to. But like, I had a feeling you would. How are we feeling? How are we doing? What's the vibe? What's the mood?
I'm tired. Like I'm tired. I actually just took 2 liquid gels. Not because I'm tired, but because my body's hurting. Because I like did a lot yesterday and I'm sore and I'm tired. Ooh. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I had a bottle of wine and I cut myself opening it. Like I had a day yesterday.
You cut like on the foil or?
Yeah. So I'm obviously professional at opening bottles of wine. And this
a
one,
sommelier, we would say.
The cork was stuck and I have an electric one. I was alternating back and forth because I said, I will not let the wine bottle win. I am drinking this tonight. So the foil, when I like gripped it, foil was like, fuck you, Barry. We're going to win. So I got like in a fight with my wine bottle last night and I won. Duh.
you were like, it was like Crystal versus Sutton, Barry versus the wine.
Yeah. I'm the Crystal in this.
The wine foil was an inappropriate, awkward person. Okay. Obviously we're talking about Beverly Hills today, family karma, lots to discuss. This season of Beverly Hills, I feel like every week there's just new and interesting things to talk about. We're never at a loss for words, except maybe in a good way. I loved this episode and I was very impressed because I was wondering, I knew at some point they had taken, break in filming because there were positive COVID tests. And I was like, when are we going to get there? Are they going to just pretend it didn't happen? Like, how are they going to handle that? And they handled it with such grace. It was like,
I mean, does Beverly Hills handle anything any differently?
I mean, the last few seasons of Beverly Hills have not been like incredible. So I wasn't sure. I appreciated they gave us like a couple key sort of FaceTime scenes that were necessary. We got a couple of these genius looking over the balcony scenes. And then it was like, bada bing, bada boom. Quarantine's over. I loved the way they acknowledged it and kind of just moved right through it.
Yeah. I mean, I felt bad. Like, obviously, I felt bad for anybody who had COVID. And like, you could see the differences of what they were going through. Like, Kyle was really, really like hit with like parenting and just like really depressed. And it was sad. But I'm glad not that they're all thankfully okay, because
it was so scary. Sad with Dorit talking about how she was quarantined separate from her kids and she has little kids. Like, and they were, when she was saying like, oh, like mommy, we'll get it. We don't care. We just want to see my heart.
I know. I can like picture really their little voices, like Phoenix and Jagger, like it being like in there. I can see Phoenix saying this in like a Star Wars costume too.
Okay, we got to talk about what happened with Sutton and Crystal, because that was kind of the carryover from last episode. So after the ugly leather pants moment, they kind of bring Sutton back. They like, you know, reel her in a little bit. She apologizes pretty immediately for the pants comment. You know, she says in her confessional that she
think they're really cute.
I think they were pleather, actually. So, but it's like, okay, so Sutton apologizes for that like one specific moment, but she still cannot get over the use of the word violated. And I just think, okay, we've talked about this for the last couple weeks. I personally feel, and I think the definition of the word confirms that Crystal used it
correctly, in a sense. You know, like, she wasn't using the wrong word.
I'm sorry, but you can't back down the way she did when you are right. Like, when you're right. She was right. So there, she was not, like...
Right. She needs to just, like, get the fuck over it, because Crystal has made it clear that she's not going to apologize because she wasn't actually wrong. It's interesting to see the other women get a little more of a glimpse into how Crystal really handles things.
I agree and I disagree, because I feel like she's has connected with the other women. So it's like she has a different relationship with them, and therefore the things that happen with her and Sutton wouldn't happen with the other women. So I feel like they don't think that way. But I did get pissed when Sutton was like, when they did sit down and Sutton was like, it's nothing you said, it's your presence. And everyone was like, Sutton, like that was, Erica was like, that was uncalled for. Like, it, we're not like in fifth grade where you don't need to like keep, and that is where it turned, and that's where Crystal got like mad and started raising her voice. And to be honest, I would have done the same thing, because there's only so much you can do for someone that's pissing you off and just is not getting over it. So Sutton was Crystal was like, so then you can leave, and she like got really mad. But to be honest, I think this sit down and this argument and raised voices is the conversation that needed to happen. Now they're good. Sutton made a joke, should you lock your door, and I was like, oh god, everyone's like, Sutton, land the plane, like, please stop. But I think, like, hopefully, fingers crossed, I think, like, this is it. Like, we are good.
These two are definitely at the point where it's like, you need to hash it out and move on for the sake of the group
and us.
There's enough other stuff going on. We don't need to talk about violated at every group event for the rest of the season.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So after the bolognese lunch, which I saw someone refer to on Twitter as Harry and Lisa's super spreader bolognese lunch.
No.
So Kyle, Kathy, and Dorit all test positive for COVID, unfortunately. So the cast is in quarantine. And during week two of this quarantine is when the big news breaks that Tom and Erica are being sued. And there's the allegations about the plane crash victims and, you know, basically everything that we are still talking about up to this day. It's so interesting that this happened when they were in quarantine, because of course it gives us some classic moments of like Garcelle calling Sutton and being like, did you hear? And Sutton's like, yeah. Oh wow, it's on Fox News. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
it is crazy to think about being on the cast of one of these shows and you're filming your season and you're just kind of like going about whatever group stuff is happening, you know, like Sutton and Crystal arguing. I'm sure in the context of the group, it felt important, but like nobody was posting about it online. And then all of a sudden your storyline for the season is like national news.
Right. I mean, she's involved in a federal lawsuit. It's like a really, really big deal. And like, I said it last night, I watched the episode. I'm going to say it again. I don't think she knew. I do not think she knew. I think that conversation with her and Kyle last night, the mascara, yes, it was, you know, I don't think that she was planning on breaking down and having that conversation with Kyle. I think she saw Kyle and she got overwhelmed and it hit her. And no one can say they haven't been in that situation before where it just all hits you at once and you talk about it. We have never seen Erica like that. And to be honest, that looked very, those emotions, you could disagree with me. Anyone can disagree with me. Those emotions looked so raw, like, and wild. Again, the mascara was like funny. It was just like, oh my God. And then the music in the background was kind of like weird, like not believe, I don't know. But it is just something that I feel like no one can imagine. And now we're seeing more and more of like how her and Tom's relationship was, why she would ever question where his money was coming from, what happens when she asks him questions, like it's all coming to a head. And at the same time, like her situation, obviously, I'm not going to say it has like the victims of this plane crash and the lawsuit are one thing that is as important as everything that's going on. That has nothing to do with Erica's life and what she's going through too. Like, so what about the victim? It has one thing is different from the other. Like, it has nothing to do with that. Like,
because I agree that the experience of her divorce and her talking about what she went through with her marriage, to be honest, like, I don't really have any reason to not believe that. Like, some of those things are things that we have sort of seen on the show.
What, you think her divorce, like, wasn't a sham, you're saying?
Yeah, like, the stuff with Tom, you know, like,
right,
not being very, like, warm or whatever, like, not kind of being, you know, the stuff behind closed doors, like, that all kind of checks out to me. Like, I wouldn't question that. But the thing for me is that I don't think that what's happening with all the victims is completely separate from her, because the whole connotation is that stolen money was being used to fund her whole lifestyle. And so I don't think it's necessarily a question. I mean, I guess it is a question of what she knew and when.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, what she knew.
I think what people are saying about her being upset and her not acknowledging that is that if I was spending $40,000 a month and I found out that that money might have been stolen from plane crash victims, I would feel pretty fucking shitty about that, even if I didn't know. And I think that's the thing with Erica, is I think you can separate the question of the divorce and maybe she didn't know from the fact that, like, on a human level, doesn't she feel awful, even if it's not her fault?
And absolutely, I think
that's the thing that's so kind of troublesome to me, and to, I think, a lot of other people watching the show play out, is that it's like, she only seems concerned with herself, at least from what she said, because, you know, she's saying that the people who are bringing these lawsuits are like assholes and trying to ruin her life and all of this stuff. And it's like, babe, the people bringing this lawsuit are plane crash victims who didn't get the money that your husband owed them. So whether or not you're being personally impacted by this, which obviously she is, it's for a reason. Like, it's not like some other rich businessman is just like, I think I'm going to take Erica's money. It's like, they're victims.
Right. And I think that I agree. And I think that she is thinking about herself because she's the one going through this. And I'm also not comparing the situations. Like, I think the victims are, what they went through is horrific and awful. But at the same time, you know what I thought about? What if a part of that conversation, like, what if at one point she did mention the victims and she did say that, and she did. And maybe, because it's reality TV, maybe that part got cut out. You never know. But at the same time, I feel like she is entitled to, like, care and talk about herself in this, like, in this situation. I don't know. It's a really like weird conversation. No, and also from an outside perspective, like it's a weird thing.
I would never say that she's like not entitled to also be upset for what she's personally going through. I just think the fact that this broke, you know, 7 months ago, and on the show, there hasn't been any acknowledgement on social media in any kind of statement that she's put out. Like, I think that's the thing. Like, obviously, I know the editors could be picking and choosing what to include, but like, there's never been any kind of inkling anywhere that she actually like feels bad.
I think
that's the thing. Like, even if she can't go into details or she can't say much, just be like, I hope everyone gets the money they're entitled to or something like that. You know, like, I feel like, and I've heard, you know, like more legal expert type people also say that it's like she could acknowledge the victims without incriminating herself.
Okay. So that's, and again, like, I'm not like defending her. I'm like, no, she deserves it. But I was thinking that too. Like, what if she just like legitimately doesn't want to say one thing about this lawsuit, like online? Cause then if she does, people will be like, well, she, you know, like, and look at what she's going through already, where she even said like, all it takes is one person to say you're, and then the whole internet picks that up and whatever. So she can say one thing about the victims. And I would be like, Erica Jane, like said like this about the victim. Like, so maybe she just wants to stay away from it, which is tearing at her more. I don't know. It's
undoubtedly she's in a very tricky situation. Like, I think no matter where you fall,
her small home,
no matter where you fall on like liking Erica, hating Erica, whatever, I think everyone can agree that her situation right now is not ideal.
It was like, oh shit.
Yeah, we saw a lot of emotions this episode. Also, I loved seeing Kyle have a real heart-to-heart with Kathy about how she, you know, is having some depression issues and specifically feels like in the pandemic she's falling short as a mom with Portia, and that she's worried about seeing Portia kind of be so comfortable, you know, not socializing and at home all the time and sort of, you know, shrinking into herself. And I think this was like one of the most like honest moments I can remember Kyle having on the show, where it just felt super genuine and like she kind of is at a loss for what to do.
Yeah, because she was at one point, like she was like leaving the house, she said, and it was noon and her daughter was just waking up, and she's like, but at the same time, I can't be mad because there's nothing else for her to do. Like, she was on a normal day, she wouldn't sleep till noon. But honestly, I have to agree with Portia. I'm a lot older than like 12, but I prefer staying in too and not socializing these days. It's just like you become accustomed to it. And like, the thing is, Kyle's also like, do you think I would ever let her have those nails? No. And then they did that flashback to Portia, and Portia's like, because I'm a queen. And I was like, Portia, oh my God, I love it. But
I kind of agree with you in a weird way. I feel like I do kind of relate to Portia. And I totally get what Kyle is saying about how, like, I don't, you know, like over the last year, I feel like a lot of us have gotten more comfortable sort of being on our own and like staying kind of inside ourselves. And that, you know, at one point it's like a coping mechanism, but then, you know, now obviously when they were filming the show, it was still, stuff was pretty much in lockdown, you know, vaccines weren't out yet. So like now we're dealing with the real time effects of like, okay, so I can go out and socialize whenever I want, but like,
I don't necessarily want to
do that all the time. Like, maybe I have Bravo to catch up on.
I have come a long way, to be honest. Like, in the beginning, I didn't leave my house, literally. And then towards, like, once the vaccines really started, like, happening, whatever, I was getting a little looser, like, in going out, whatever. And now I don't even think twice about, like, going out to dinner, going out
to a
store.
I think I always sort of had this about me, but I feel very like at peace with whatever I actually want to do. I'm like, if there's a Saturday where I just want to have like TV day on the couch, I don't feel like it's like wrong of me to want that versus like going out and like having a social day all day. It's about the balance. I'm like, if I go 2 weeks without seeing a friend, obviously, then I'm going to feel
FaceTime.
Yeah, but like, you know, we're like, you and I are going to see each other next week for the first time. For the first time since before we started doing this podcast.
Isn't that crazy, you guys? We always talk about, we launched this podcast in quarantine, literally a month after it started. We launched in April, and Dylan and I have not seen each other in person. We are going to, should we like do a Bravo prayer? Like when we see each other and like hold hands and hug?
should we sing a song? I don't know how to heal a heart.
Money can't buy you class. Money can't buy you.
Hello. Oh my God. We also, okay. Last thing about Beverly Hills before we move on to Family Karma, we meet Sutton's daughter for the first time.
Sutton's
daughter, Porter, who has turned 18 since season 10 was filmed. So now she can decide that she wants to be on camera. I like to think of it as a big middle finger to Sutton's ex, because, you know, that's a whole thing. Sutton's daughter seems so lovely, so well-mannered, you know, mm-hmm. She's a Kappa Kappa Gamma.
Kappa
so
happy Kappa that genius.
happy that I am a Kappa Kappa Gamma. she seems just like such a lovely young woman.
I absolutely agree. And I truly did. I liked seeing Sutton like in that scene. We haven't seen her like with her kids ever. So it's very different. And like, it was really funny when Lisa Rinna was over like for lunch, and Lisa's like a very like fun, like nurturing woman. So she was like talking to Porter, like, how old, when's your birthday? What's your sign? And oh my God. So Amelia is 19, which is just one little year older than Porter. And boy, are they in two different phases their lives.
When Lisa was suggesting that Porter and Amelia should like hang out and have a play date, I like, can you even imagine what they would talk about? Because I can't. Like,
no, but
I,
we can't even come up with words right this second.
Porter would be like, yeah, my mom doesn't let me get lip fillers. And Amelia's like, what? That's weird.
I like really can't, but it's funny because, and then in Sutton's confession, she goes, yeah, I'm not too sure about that play date. It's not going to happen. Can you imagine Sutton doesn't let her get lip fillers and Amelia's dating a 37-year-old with three kids? Like, they don't have that much in common.
No, I think they would be very cordial to each other, but, you know, not a lot.
There's nothing worse than your mom wanting you to hang out with someone's kid. That is
like the most, it's the most painful kind of small talk, because you're like, you both have the understanding that you're being forced to be there. It's not like, oh, one of us is kind of into it, I guess I'll be nice. It's like, so your mom knows my mom.
It would be like the way Rinna was talking to Porter. Like, it would be like that. It would be like a date almost. But you're not, it's four. Oh God. It's terrible. I can't even think about it. But why can't Porter and Portia would have more fun together, I feel. I want to hang out with Portia.
I want to hang out with Portia. I want to hang out with Porter. I just want to hear more about Sutton, to be honest. Like, I feel like I need like an inside scoop on what Sutton is like.
Yeah. Like, does she buy her any, like, is she the type of mom where it's like gives her an allowance, or does she's like, all right, come on, Porter, we're going shopping, and like buys her anything?
Does she get like one couture piece passed down to her for her birthday every year?
Wait, also side note, the internet flipped out when Sutton called Crystal's pants ugly, because everyone was like, Sutton wore a fucking pipe cleaner last week as a bow. And like, she's like, just because you're wearing couture does not mean it's fat. Like, oh my God, people are ripping her a new one because she wears like Dolce & Gabbana to the grocery store, but it's ugly as fuck.
I just think there's a difference between fashion and style.
Totally.
And I think I like a lot of what Sutton wears. I think it's like very particular to her, but like, it is funny for her to call like a pretty basic pair of black leather pants ugly, because it's like, that's just something that people wear.
And like Kathy Hilton said, I thought the pants were darling.
Darling. I love that. Is such a Kathy Hilton word to use. I thought the pants were darling.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Okay, let's talk about Family Karma. This is another banger of an episode with lots going on. Okay, because we were talking about the awkward date that would happen between Porter and Amelia, let's talk about Anisha's date, which is a little awkward, but overall, I think pretty cute.
She's so funny in general and knows it. Like, it's one thing when someone doesn't know they're awkward or fun, like, and doesn't acknowledge it. She knows it. And she was saying how she has like diarrhea of the mouth. And they showed her, she was like, so what's your favorite food? And to be honest, like, I have done that before, especially if you know that you're not, it's like actually one of my favorite things to do when you just like come out with a random question. And it's like, but at the same time, it's really fun because it makes you think. So it's like,
I can totally relate with the date experience of like, you get to a you start talking about something because it was like a natural progression of the conversation. And then all of a sudden you're like, why have I been talking about sea creatures for 5 minutes? Like, this isn't something that's important to me. I don't normally talk about this. Like, why did I just decide that like, this was like, I feel like that's such a thing on like a first date that you have like, you're like throwing out opinions that you've never even like considered before. You're like, oh yeah, like now that I think about it, I guess like whales are pretty cool. Like, I don't know.
She's really great though. I feel like she's like, she makes fun of herself. Like, she knows it, but even more awkward with the drinks, like ordering the cocktails. She was like, I'm sure they have a full bar. Like, they can be, I was like, also,
this guy was hot.
He was, and that's what she kept saying to him again. He's 6'2", but he also seemed really nice. Like, he seemed like a nice guy. So
yeah.
They're like, all right, bye, and like hugged and like left. I was like, God, what is happening here?
Lots happening. But wait, okay. So Amrit and Vishal are starting a men's lingerie line, and I'm sorry.
UDP.
The scene where Vishal was trying on the underwear was like really doing it for me. My friend and I are like very into the men on this show, and I was like sending him screenshots because he hasn't watched the episode.
Oh God. Okay, like, well,
get ready.
It was no Sex Life 3 minute scene, episode is 3 minutes.
The shower.
Scene? Yeah. Okay. So it was no that, but Vishal was packing it in, I would say. And like the quality of the underpants didn't look, it looked like not the best, like not that it would hold everything is what I'm thinking,
The fabric looked soft but not that thick.
Okay, to be honest, remember when you were in high school and you covered your textbooks with a book sock? That is what that was. Like, that is what the red panties were. But underwear dance party.
That might be the hardest you've ever made me laugh on this podcast. at the book sock.
That's all, my God. That material is all I can envision. But yeah. They answered the door, and it's almost like all the staff in the building clearly knows who they are. And it was so funny. He was like, I like it. And then the cameras were there for the show. So Amrit was like, they think we're filming porn in here. Like, they think we're doing something. Even he was like, oh my God, it was a really great scene. But I wonder where they are in this business, because it is true. Like, where do guys other than like Calvin Klein or like Abercrombie, where do boys buy these panties?
I don't know. Like, underwear you can buy anywhere.
They seem like they have an it, like the market needs this. That's what I'm saying is, like, Calvin Klein does not sell this. They sell like those whitey tighty thong. Like, they don't sell the thongs. We need that.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Moving on.
I'm advocating for UDP.
Okay. The main heart of this episode is obviously Nicholas and Amrit. And before we get to the proposal scene, which is very sweet, we have kind of an awkward moment because Nicholas comes over to Amrit's parents' house and he wants to talk to Amrit's mom. And he basically sits down with her and is like, look, be real with me. Do you think Amrit wants to get married? Like, what do you think it's going to take? Like, what do you think this is, like, the timeline? And I have to say, she did such an incredible job of, like, not giving anything away. I was shocked.
Yeah, because moms are terrible at that. And they would be like, yeah, like, well,
I really assumed, and I think it would have still been okay if she was like, oh, I definitely think he'll be ready. I don't know how long it'll take. But she was literally like, she was kind of giving him like a pessimistic answer where she was like, Nicholas, I don't know. I don't know if he'll ever want to get married. And it's like,
but I also like seeing them together. Like, I feel like he feels very comforted by Amrit's family. And I really like the relationship that he's building with them, even though it's been, like, you know, a while, but he's feeling more comfortable and open talking
totally.
To them.
And especially knowing that he has kind of a fraught relationship with his own parents. Right. And, you know, they haven't always been the most accepting. It is great to see that Amrit's parents can kind of be like that family for him that he doesn't necessarily feel he always has on his side. But then we get to our boat day, which I love that Bali put this boat day together, but the fact that they have to get there so early in the morning, she's like, what? It's the only time I could get the boat.
Honestly, that answer and the way she said it was, you couldn't be more perfect than that. She was like, good morning. And then they were like complaining about it. And I don't know why that just like that one line she said, she's like, what? It's the only time I can get it. Like, she's just that person I feel like you want to have around. She like is really good right. at those situations, but this couldn't have gone more perfect, to be honest.
I know.
For someone who didn't have a plan. And that's funny because sometimes plans don't work.
Bali is the friend in the group who makes the plans, who like steps up to make the plan. And then other people who like didn't take any initiative will like complain about it. And she's like, yeah. Would you rather have a boat in the morning or not at all? Because I was the one who called. Made it happen. You know, they're drinking their champagne. I love that Vishal is more nervous than Amrit because he's like such a supportive friend.
Wait, and also that Vishal goes, are you sure you want to do this? And Amrit goes, well, yeah. I'm going to do it. Like, I don't really think I have a choice.
Are you like, are you sure?
But it was a little nerve-wracking because he didn't know where to go, what to do, where we were going to be.
I liked the kind of construct of that they were like taking a couple's picture because it made it so that they could film it without it being like conspicuous.
That was all Vishal. I'm giving that all to him where they were all laying there and he's like, should we take, like, he initiated that.
Oh,
and
let's
it was
take couples
perfect.
Pictures like Nicholas, Amrit, like, get up there. Oh, it was so cute.
And then Amrit gave the ring to Nicholas and was like, now I want you to have the opportunity too. And I was like, this is so freaking cute. And then it's nothing worse than a boat at 7:30 in the morning though. It's like, okay, now we have the whole day to celebrate.
Great. Now it's 10 a.m. it was so cute that I love these people.
I listen,
they're the best.
Don't sleep. Everyone says don't sleep on family karma. Seriously.
Don't sleep on family karma. You shouldn't. Also, I was dying when Amri earlier in the episode had his dog in the confessional with him.
Oh. That
is the cutest dog. There's just so many great things going on. Brian still won't tell anyone that he lost his job. Like, that's a disaster waiting to happen. There is so much going on, truly.
I know, but he wasn't really in this like episode as much, but I kind of, I feel like we don't have enough good things to say about this show. It's just really good. It's a really good flow.
I actually like the way it's like everybody's in every episode at least a little bit, but they sort of pick and choose like who the focus is from week to week. So it's like this week, like there wasn't so much Brian, like we didn't really see like Dylan and Sean very much, but like, obviously it was important that Nicholas and Amrit have their moment. We saw more like Monica talking with her parent, with her mom. Like, they have so much going on in the cast. And I think they're doing a great job of kind of like zooming in on different sort of like angles for each episode.
Right. Right. And that'll love do to see it. It. And all right. Yes, we love to see it. But I wanted to wait till our Monday recording to talk about Potomac. But there is something I want to bring up really quick. Last week, we were talking about Wendy's plastic surgery.
Okay.
She posted that butt done and they cut it.
She got out a BBL. Of the show.
Yeah.
She got a Brazilian butt lift, which is the biggest trend on TikTok right now, by the way. There are so many BBL videos happening. It's like a very, it's like the Kardashian surgery, basically. But I thought it was so interesting that she said right at the table at the nude interlude, she told all the women she got a boob job and a BBL and they cut it out. And it makes her look like such a liar on the episode because I remember I brought up that when she was at the doctor's office, they were looking at, you know, like healing on her hips, which is obviously not from a breast augmentation. And so I was glad that she clarified that. But I also feel like that's extremely shady of the editors to cut that. Because it's like you made her look like a liar. And like, who knows if she's telling the 100% truth, but like, she wasn't lying about like having an ass.
Yeah, but also like, that's all I can say is that it would be shady because like, why would you?
The Bravo editors are great, but sometimes they make decisions that I'm like, why?
But
whatever. We'll have a fresh episode of Potomac to talk about when we are back on Monday. But that's going to do it for us today. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend. It's Podcast Friday, as we know. In the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, follow the show wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. Also, check out our Bravo merch collection at betches.co/Bravo merch. And in the meantime, just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.